Coming up, we're about to talk about some of the attractions that are gone, but not forgotten, at Universal Orlando. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of The Disunplugged. This is episode 136 of the Disunplugged Universal Edition. The Disunplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Disunplugged Universal Edition. I am your host, Craig Williams, and today I am joined alongside by my co-host, Mr. Rhino Clavin. Hello.
Hello. We are disgusting, yes. Wearing these same clothes all the time.
Yes, movie magic. That's all I'm going to say. Lots of movie magic. No, we are in a... I am back home right now, and technically you are too, but this would be like you just got home a couple hours ago.
Yeah, so. I've been awake on a red eye all night.
Yeah, so of course, you know, we were out at the D23 Expo with all of our coverage from there, and then plus a little added on extra for Rhino with Disneyland stuff. So this is another one of our, all episodes are now pre-recorded except for the live one every now and then, but this is a super pre-recorded episode because it is for 2 weeks in advance, but it's all good. It's going to be okay. I promise this one will be just slightly terrible. We're going to fumble our way through this, but you know what? It's going to be fun. What did I say this episode was about? I said it was about stuff that is gone but not forgotten, attractions at Universal Orlando. So we are going to take a trip back in the Extinction Archives of sorts. Yeah, thank you.
Interesting archives.
Yes, the Extinction Archives of Universal Orlando, and talk about those attractions that just aren't quite there anymore. We have talked about, when we've talked about history of Universal Orlando, we've talked about what's kind of come, what's kind of come and gone throughout the years. So this is more of a refresher course. A lot of the inspiration was, 2 weeks ago, we did our Jaws episode, and a lot of people were enjoying going down memory lane and hearing us kind of talk about fond memories of what wasn't there. And in this case, this episode, I know you have had a lot of dealings with some of the attractions that aren't gone. Not me so much. A lot were gone before my time, but I've watched many videos on them, really tried to dig in, and there has been a lot of good stuff that has left us at Universal.
You know, it's like the summer of nostalgia. I have a feeling that this episode about Extinct Thing is going to lead us to do episodes in other shows that we have about things that we feel nostalgic about.
I know.
A specific attraction that we'll talk about in a little bit, I'm sure.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not quite sure. But yeah, a lot of this too, besides that Jaws episode, on the Diz Universal side of things, when I have to retire a attraction or something else, a shop, whatever, from the list of things that we have, I have to mark it in a folder. I don't want to delete the entire page and then just like erase its existence and what we wrote about it, all of that. We like to save it behind. I stumbled across a great thing. Universal Orlando has kind of done that too, a little bit. So they do have a page called their retired attractions page.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, no, it's really cool. So it's titled Gone But Not Forgotten, and it has a very short list of the things that have gone, particularly ones and kind of, I would say, like, 2010, 2011 up through here. So some even earlier than that. So they highlight Back to the Future, the ride being gone, Beetlejuice Graveyard Review, Disaster, Jaws, Jimmy Neutron, Confrontation. Confrontation.
Yes.
Thank you. Lucy, a tribute, and then of course Twister. They also throw
Wait
on
a
Wet
minute.
And Wild. What?
There are missing attractions in this, though, right?
They are missing a lot. And honestly, on this list, we are also going to miss a lot, too. So I don't want to say this is the definitive end-all, be-all. I'm okay. just going with the kind of the attractions that people tend to remember, and the ones that are very easily accessible through watching videos. So that way I'm able to re-experience them. So we're going to kind of just go around the park, Universal Studios Florida. And as much of a fashion as we can without going too crazy all over the place. But the first actual place that I want to start on is Despicable Me, Minion Mayhem.
Okay.
So, and oddly enough, yeah, it was Despicable Me Minion Mayhem is the current attraction. One of the first things you see as you actually walk into Universal Studios Florida, it will be on your left. And Despicable Me Minion Mayhem hasn't always been there, though. In that last list that I read you off, you might have remembered me saying that Jimmy Neutron's Nicktoon Blast was there before. Well, I just said Jimmy Neutron, so I don't really want to say that. But Universal's description of Jimmy Neutron was the evil Ublar from the planet Yokian had stolen Jimmy's newest rocket creation, the Mark IV. You boarded your own rocket and followed Jimmy on a wild chase through your favorite Nicktoons, including SpongeBob, Fairly Odd Parents, Hey Arnold, and Rugrats. And
I did not know that was what the attraction was.
Oh, yeah. And the attraction closed in 2011 to make way for Minion Mayhem. So I remember, I know one of our close friends, Shane, who mm-hmm. watches the show often, this is where I got the chance to meet him because he was working at Jimmy Neutron when that shuttered its doors, and that's when he came over to Hogwarts and started working with me.
He's what's known as an attraction killer. When he starts working there, that attraction will close not soon after.
Yes, and he's had this track record at both Universal as well as Disney. Yes. So he kills everything he comes into contact with, and I think he would be happy to know. Well, he does watch and all that stuff, so he'll hear it. he'll know we're talking about him. But
he's actually with us at D23 right now, just so you know. Yeah.
There you go, even there.
But, yeah.
So, but we can't really talk about Jimmy Neutron's Nicktoon Blast without taking one more step back and acknowledging that it started with the Hanna-Barbera attraction. Now, do you remember this, Rhino?
No. I used to come to Universal a lot when I was a kid. I don't know. I don't think I remember this. I remember the Nickelodeon Studios attraction, but that was like the part of the park that's not part of the park anymore.
Yeah.
It's the Blue Man Group. It used to be in the park, but now it's like it's separated. It's in between the two parks.
Yeah. So we're not going to go into anything with Nickelodeon and all that because I'm sorry. It's just
I'll just have to do an episode of Diz Pop about it. Yeah.
Well, if you don't do that, we will do it again in the future on here when I can. This is strictly these attractions. Technically, we will talk about one thing that did include Nickelodeon in it, but yeah, before Jimmy Neutron, it was actually the Fantastic World of Hanna-Barbera. And I will just say, off the top, you can still watch some pretty great videos of this on YouTube. I will try to include links to the best videos that kind of show off these attractions in our show notes page at disunplug.com. One website, a couple actually, YouTube channels, were able to get like, it didn't look like crystal clear source material ride footage, but very good that you could clearly tell was happening. But yeah, so the Fantastic World of Hanna-Barbera opened up on June 7th, 1990. And basically it was the simulator ride that would kind of take you through the world of Hanna-Barbera. So the storyline included Dastardly and Muttley. And they kidnapped Elroy from the Jetsons, mm-hmm. so all crossing barriers. And Yogi and Boo Boo, of course, from Yogi Bear, were starting the chase that we went on to try to track them down. And, I don't think the episode of Diz Pop has come out yet that kind of gives my love for Hanna-Barbera in there.
Secrets. That's after this. That's next. That's tomorrow's episode.
That's tomorrow's episode. Yeah. So you'll get to hear more about my love for this, but this attraction, just watching back the video, just absolutely incredible.
What years did this, was this at Universal Florida? Universal Studios Florida?
This ran all the way from 1990 until 2002.
Oh, then so, maybe I did do that, because it does sound familiar, like the plot of it.
Yeah, so Dastardly and Muttley kidnap Elroy, Yogi, and Boo Boo, lead you on this quest to get them back, and then you start going through the classic cartoons. So you go through the Flintstones, and you see all the characters as you're flying around, and you're going through Bedrock, and then you go into this haunted mansion type looking place that is where you encounter characters from Scooby-Doo. You see Shaggy and Scooby, and just really awesome. And then it wraps up when you hit then the section where you go to the Jetsons, and you're flying around.
What did it look like inside? Was it a theater, or did you go into a vehicle?
It's the same theater that was around for Jimmy Neutron as well as Despicable Me. The seats all around. Yep.
I think I did do this. This sounds really, really familiar. Like, I kind of remember the Jetsons part, and I remember a chase. And this is something I would have done when I was a kid. I wouldn't have been afraid of this.
This was absolutely wonderful. Just from watching the video of it, like one of those times where I am so deeply jealous that I never actually got to experience this, because this would have been right up my alley. I loved the Flintstones. I loved the Jetsons. Scooby-Doo was a fan. I loved Wacky Races. Like, literally everything Hanna-Barbera did. That was part of my upbringing. It just absolute wonderful cartoons, along with the rest of the cartoons I did. I'm sure a lot of it closing had to do with the fact that, Nickelodeon was still there. While Hanna-Barbera was still making stuff in the early 90s, like they made the Jetsons movie that I believe you can still watch on Netflix, it just got stale. Things started to really, things started to change. So, then we have Jimmy Neutron's Nicktoon Blast coming through, and using the same exact theater, same exact setup. So not a difference in terms of the ride structure, but the big difference here is that you'd start with Jimmy Neutron, a character that's not super relatable to people of our age, I guess is the best.
Well, that was the reason why I never did this one. I didn't know he went into those other classic cartoons, because they made it out to be, I thought this was like for kids. Like, I thought it was a little kid's thing.
Yeah, you would have thought that it was, like, I always thought before I did it, I thought it was just heavily based on Jimmy Neutron itself, because that's in the name. But no, it did go through. So you flew past, like, the city where Hey Arnold took place in New York City.
Oh, man, see, and I didn't watch Jimmy Neutron. That's why I was like, I'm not going to ever. I mean, I don't think I was an annual pass holder before. Maybe I was. I don't know. Yeah. But it just, it. Ah, man. Dang it.
Here's the thing. I don't want to, like, sell you on this and say, like, it was amazing. When you flew through Hey Arnold and PS-119 and all the friends, it was very, very brief. When you flew through Rugrats, very, very brief. A lot of the main bulk of the show was made up surrounding the Fairly Odd Parents, SpongeBob SquarePants, and then, of course, Jimmy Neutron. Very miss for people of our age who were kind of over all those shows after. Right, I said, I've said before, I like SpongeBob. I watched a little bit of SpongeBob, but definitely nothing from Fairly Odd Parents or
Jimmy Neutron. I knew Fairly Odd Parents, but it's like, I don't know. I think we were Nick in the 90s more, and those are like 90, I think SpongeBob's 99, and then Fairly Odd Parents is like 2000 or 2001.
Yeah, we should do a show on that tomorrow.
We should. That's weird. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, we'll do that. But yeah, then the most obnoxious part of that attraction was the chicken dance. And
what?
Yeah, you know the chicken dance.
Yeah, I know the chicken dance. So what did it have to do with the attraction?
Watch a video on it. Oh, you can't go and experience it, but the chicken dance, all I'll say. And yeah, there was other classic characters. Like, you pass by a set that has, like, Rocco's Modern Life on it. And so there,
I'm going to watch the video.
Yeah, there were cool moments in it. It made way for Despicable Me, and that's out there now. So that, if you always thought, the, you know, Despicable Me, this was made here. No, there was a lot of history to that that did come before. So then right across the street from that, we have Shrek, which hopefully we won't have for much longer.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So do you know what came before Shrek?
No, because I actually thought Jimmy Neutron was in that theater before Shrek. Oh. So I was confused about the side of the street it was on.
Okay, so Shrek 4D opened up in mid-2003. What was around from when the park opened, one of the original attractions through 2003, something I think we both wish we could have back dearly, Alfred Hitchcock, The Art of Making Movies.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that would have been amazing. What did you do in there?
Okay, so I don't want to like glorify this in any ways, but this show was essentially a montage of the greatest moments in Alfred Hitchcock history, which, you know, a lot of people will cite like, oh, well, you know, Psycho, The Birds, Rear Window, Vertigo, and, you know, kind of end off there. But then, I mean, Hitchcock's career was so much more lustrous than that. Rope.
Oh, yeah.
Strangers on a Train.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's that's before you even go into his
Catch a Spy. Is that what it's called? The one about the spy?
Yeah. And then you have his whole television career, which stretched beyond all the movies.
Nick at Night. That was always on at Nick at Night when I was a kid.
And so the movie started off with this this great montage of everything that he had done throughout there. But then it was a mix of obviously just a regular film, but then it went into this 3D portion at the end of it.
What?
Yeah, it went into a 3D portion, and it featured it featured birds attacking you.
Oh my goodness.
you sound like
seagulls. Were they seagulls?
Well, they were birds.
Poking at my head.
Listen, I was watching the video from it. Again, I didn't get to experience this ever, so I'm basing this off the terrible standard definition video that was available back then.
Well, I think the birds and birds were crows, weren't they?
They were a whole bunch of different ones, depending on where
they were. Seagulls, yeah, there too. Were seagulls, yeah, there were seagulls.
They were poking at my head. Not fun. but, yeah, no, there was just – it looked – the montage was cool, but essentially what I would kind of relate it to is like, take the montage at the end of Great Movie Ride, make it only Alfred Hitchcock, and then add like a little extra twist on it. So as you can see, it wasn't really that much.
Yeah, it didn't really do anything.
Yeah, it wasn't amazing. So I understand why they would want to
revitalize it. It's a big area for something that's not like as – like is not a quite as a spectacle, you know.
I feel like if they wanted to show a tribute to Alfred Hitchcock anymore, take like where they added the NBC Media Center at the Garden of Allah and put in like a screening theater there where fans of Hitchcock and stuff could come and watch a classic attraction like that. But yeah, sadly that left, so that is no longer there, which is what this whole show is about. Coming to not at the final close, but coming to a quick close in Production Central, the next thing we are going to talk about is where Transformers is. Do you know what was there before?
Nothing. Buildings.
There were sound stages there. Technically,
right in the middle of the park.
Yeah, there were sound stages there, and they did tear them down, and they made Transformers.
It looked like a city on the outside, right? Or no?
No, it was actually used for
Bring It On,
Murder, She Wrote Theater. And
oh,
I know you know about this. Yeah.
No. Why are all these things gone?
I know. It's like what if you could have what you had in your childhood but have now while you can remember? This is what you would want Universal to be.
I want Angie Lansbury.
I know you do. I know you do. And so, yeah, where Transformers is standing, that's where you could have, at one point in time, found the Murder, She Wrote Theater. The Murder, She Wrote Mystery Theater, thank you very much. And basically, it was a kind of a look behind how they would make the show in terms of effects. So makeup, audio, visual, editing, all through there. So, you know, it was a working studio. So this was just showcasing sort of how it was, how the show be made, which, yeah, no, it's very cool. It's kind of what you came to the parks for back in those days. You came to the studios to learn that stuff. And then it was replaced, sadly, by Hercules and Xena, Wizards of the Screen.
Oh,
which,
dear God.
Yeah.
And this was Kevin Sorbo involved in this attraction?
I don't think he was. It did have, like, stunt performers and stuff, but it was basically... It basically was just another show showing how Hercules and Xena would have been made at their time. But
I feel like I vaguely remember, like, videos or pictures of this or something like that.
Oh,
I feel like I remember a Xena in a Hercules costume at one point.
It sounds absolutely terrible to me. I will admit, I did not go back to search out videos of what this was like because I have zero interest in seeing it. It closed in 2000 and then... you know, it come along to 2013, and that's when Transformers was put in that place. They tore everything down, built it back up, and I think, you know, there's a lot of nostalgia for Murder, She Wrote, but I think we're better off.
No. I agree. As much as I say, like, oh, I want to see that, you know, or whatever, but, like, I'll always give them props for how they built Transformer, just, like, popped up this building in the middle of this park.
Yeah. So the last honorable mention to kind of bring up about this entire production central area is back in the day, they did have a studio tour here too, where you could get taken all around Universal Studios Florida. Yeah, through the production facility. So you boarded the tram at Soundstage 19, which is still there. And that's right beside Nick's studios. You know, you would have kind of a journey around sound stages and the park. At one point in time, I believe you would go through and you would tour the Swamp Thing, which...
I was Swamp Thing for Halloween once.
Well,
when I was a little kid.
Okay, you would tour the Swamp Thing set that they had built, which isn't there. That is now Men in Black, so boom, check that off the list. then you would end right back up where it started, the Universal Studios store. And so that was once available, so which is very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the same. They don't really, like, shoot that stuff here.
No, but
that's why I think I like the legacy this park has ended up adopting. It's kind of like, I like how it's become more like, we're going to transport you into that movie, yeah, as opposed to being like, when we go to Hollywood, yeah, I want to see how you film your Hollywood movies.
It's this weird place they're in right now where they are making it about immersion. We want to take you into your favorite movies, whereas Hollywood is also adopting that, but we don't need to be taken into our favorite movies because, well, you're making the movies there. We want to know how you're making the movies, mm-hmm. But I digress. So we're going to move on to New York, and we have two big attractions to talk about in New York. The first one I know is near and dear to your heart, and that, of course, is... That's right, Race Through New York, starring Jimmy Fallon.
Yes, my favorite.
And what replaced Race Through New York, starring Jimmy Fallon?
Twister.
Sorry.
Twister was there
what
originally.
What was replaced by it? Yes. Yeah, thank you.
My favorite Bill Pullman attraction. Bill Pullman. Oh, my God.
Bill Paxton.
Wow.
Wow, we are both messing up
one
royally
up above,
right now.
Bill, yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, Pullman's also great. I just wanted that Independence attraction. I never got Independence Day.
And what did Twister replace?
Ghostbusters.
Yes.
Which makes me sad because when I was a kid, Ghostbusters was my Power Rangers before Power Rangers. Like, I was so into Ghostbusters, and I remember coming here and being like, this is the coolest thing I've ever... Like, you watch it back now, and you're like, okay, but, like, it still looks kind of cool even now, though. Like,
it was very cool. So, Ghostbusters Spooktacular opened up with the park in 1990. It was a 20-minute... show that was kind of, I guess there was two iterations. I think I've only seen seen videos of the first iteration, and that's where you have like a PA kind of leading you through like what actually happened towards the end of Ghostbusters and what all happened. So like the theater, when you're in there, you see the tower and Gozer, and it ends with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man off to the side. So it has all those moments. Yeah. But an absolute really cool show, because they used a mixture of really, really neat looking animatronics, as well as a lot of Pepper's ghost effects, so that way the ghost could actually fly and be in different places. I mean, this was a heavy effects driven show.
Yeah.
And it's just something that no video, I'm sure, can ever do it justice to what it was like being in that theater and seeing it happen there. Yes, it was very heavily dated. Even when I think it came out, while the effects were cool, it felt very 80s in the early 90s, yeah, looking at it. So I can only imagine then, after a couple years, where it's like, oh God, these effects do not look as good as they did now. Surely they could not stand up. Even with nostalgia, they could never stand up in today's theme park environment.
I kind of wish they did what they did with Back to the Future attraction, though, and they still had like groups of Ghostbusters come out for meet and greets, you know what I mean? Like with the proton packs on and stuff like that, because it wouldn't be that too hard to get like a Ray with the goggles and like a little cigarette out of his mouth to take a photo with a kid.
Oh, exactly. No, that would be really neat. And then I guess the second iteration after that was one where it involved, instead of a PA, production assistant hosting the show, apparently Louis Tully actually hosted the show. Louis Tully, if you don't know, that would be the Rick Moranis character in the show.
Interesting. I feel like I remember the PA, but that could be just because I watched the video recently. But I don't remember Lewis hosting the show. But that makes more sense that it should be Lewis, right? No, I don't know. I guess he turns into the dog though. That's up there. So
yeah, no. I mean, he is a little bit more a part of it than you know. The Ghostbusters are in the show, so you need a character that is not a Ghostbuster to host the show. But I haven't ever found that video. I've only watched clean quality versions of the original, so you know, that's where it's at for me. But moving down a little bit further in New York, of course, we now have Revenge of the Mummy. And what was there before Revenge of the Mummy?
The Kongfrontation, correct?
Well, yes, thank you. Thank you for pronouncing it how I could not. So, and of course, we have come full circle with Kong now that we have Skull Island, Reign of Kong over in Islands of Adventure. But here's how Universal described Kongfrontation. When Universal Studios Florida opened in 1990, Kongfrontation was a main attraction. Kong was on the loose in Manhattan and riders were threatened as he grabbed their tram, dropping it after being fired on by police helicopters. Kongfrontation closed in 2002, replaced by Revenge of the Mummy. And also, fast facts, reminders of Kongfrontation can be found throughout Revenge of the Mummy. Look for bananas painted on the wall, the tourist dummy at the beginning of the attraction wearing a hat that reads Kong Rules, and a 3-foot-tall golden Kong statue inside the treasure room of the attraction.
Those are cool. I noticed that statue, I think, the last time I was in there, actually.
Yeah. Very, very cool facts. So, again, Kongfrontation, another thing I didn't get to do, something that you were terrified of as a kid.
I thought you were really that high up in the air.
It looks like you were high up. I'm just, part of me hates that I never got to see it, but I always envisioned that the Kong attractions, this and then on the tram tour in Hollywood, I always thought it was classic Kong. I didn't realize that it was based on 70s Jeff Bridges Kong.
Yeah, I thought it was the classic movie too.
Yeah, no, it's
so it's 70s. The Jessica Lange version.
Yeah, and you know, that 70s King Kong isn't terrible, but it's just it's not classic King Kong. I will say that's where I'll leave it. But yeah, no, the whole being in the cable car on Kong, watch it. There's again some great videos out. I'll have a link to it. I just can only imagine what it would be like being face to face with that Kong animatronic. Do you remember doing this?
The Kong ride?
Yeah.
No.
No, you never did it.
No, I didn't. I was too afraid. Oh. Yeah. I was on this thing where I did, like, I'd done Back to the Future and we had done Jaws, and I was like, I can do so much. And then we got to confrontation. I was like, but this, I can't. I was like, I'm too afraid of heights to do this. And my mom tried to explain it to me, and I was like, nope, I don't believe you. You tricked me on a roller coaster before. I'm not falling for it again. Wow. Devil.
See, I thought you still did it despite being terrified of it. Oh my gosh, that's so sad.
I know. I regret it.
Yeah. Gosh, go back in time and kick the crap out of yourself.
I probably would have crapped my pants if I had done it, is the only thing. Like, I'm terrified of heights. Like, it would have happened, I would have been paralyzed, and I would have hated everyone. My mom tricked me on a flume ride once when I was a kid, and I never got over. I never trusted her about going on other rides ever again.
Gosh, Sandy.
Yeah.
Doesn't know how she affected you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we are going to move on because, you know, Revenge of the Mummy came on, and we've talked enough about that. So let's move on now to San Francisco at the next two attractions that sadly have been defeated in order to make room for what will be coming. And I think we all know what that's talking about. Fast and Furious Supercharged. Mm-hmm. So what paved the way to get here? Well, of course, we have Disaster, the major motion picture starring you, which was described as, you went behind the scenes at Disaster Studios and learned the secrets of disaster films from the master of mayhem himself, writer, producer, director, studio executive, self-proclaimed genius, Frank Kincaid. Of course, this just closed a couple years ago now for Fast and Furious Supercharged, as we said before. Before it was Disaster, of course, it was Earthquake.
Yeah, I remember the Earthquake ride. Yeah. It had Charlton Heston was the host of the video, yes. I believe. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, it was. So same ending for the attraction, well, minus the Rock in it.
Yes.
you got to put that little asterisk in there, but still had that same classic Earthquake ending that we've talked about before. But it was just, it was much different. You weren't making the movie to star you. It was behind the, it's a backlot tour on how to make movies and throwing in, I know we've talked about it before on this show many times here and there and everywhere. I think the more years that go on without Disaster, I'm becoming more and more nostalgic for it.
For the Christopher Walken one?
Yeah, the Christopher Walken Rock in the ending, in the video that was made using all the people who were chosen as extras.
Yeah, it made it a lot of fun. I honestly think that version was better than the original.
And
it was just a smart way to update a ride. An attraction without actually updating an attraction.
It was cheesy, but it had cool effects and it ate people up. So yeah. even on the busiest of days, you're talking a 20-minute wait because it really just it had great capacity. Definitely sorely, sorely missed. What also had to pave the way for Fast and Furious Supercharged coming up here is something that definitely is not sorely missed, and that is Beetlejuice.
Ugh, yuck. Yuck.
So, of course, we ended up with Beetlejuice's Graveyard Mashup. Before that, Beetlejuice's Graveyard Review, and then way, way, way before that, the original there, the American Tale show.
I don't remember that.
I remember it either.
Beetlejuice when I was a kid, though.
Yeah, no, and we can... Beetlejuice is obviously the one to focus on, having Dracula, Wolfman, Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein doing their rock show where they did covers of classic rock songs. Think AC/DC, stuff like that, and then get it changed up to doing terrible mashups with... the singing was just... Everyone sang like it was going to be their last day on Earth singing.
Everyone sang like they were on Glee.
Exactly. It's like, there's a record producer out in the audience. They're going to come and pull me, and I'm going to be something big. It happened to Wayne Brady. It can happen to me. So let me just sing my heart out. And it was just such a disservice to Beetlejuice. Especially as Michael Keaton has had such a resurgence in his career over the past couple years now, to know that, like, for so long he was represented by a terrible Beetlejuice show at Universal is just kind of, like, gut-wrenching. But Beetlejuice the movie, still great. If you want to go back and remember Beetlejuice's Graveyard Mashup, you can watch our video that we have online of it. I say skip that just go ahead and watch Beetlejuice, the original movie. Yes. You'll be much happier. So moving on from there, we already talked about Jaws very recently, so I'm not really going to focus on this, but we already talked about that in depth when we talked about remembering Jaws and Amity. So we do miss it, the classic boat ride where he drove through Amity Island and you got to see the location where that inspired the events for the Steven Spielberg movie Jaws, before then getting attacked by Jaws. Very scary. Now we have the Wizarding World of Diagon Alley. So, and we still have those little references. We have the Quint Trio record. We have the Jaws that's still hanging there. I forgot to mention in that episode, but someone pointed out, I remembered it like instantly after, that there is a brick wall next to the Wizarding World, kind of on the opposite side of it, that still has a reference to Amity Island as well, too. So I'll point it out the next time we go there. And then, of course, you can see Jaws anytime you want in the Universal Cinematic Spectacular. So moving right along, as we do, we're going to take just a couple steps past the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Diagon Alley, and we are going to make our way to Fear Factor. And what was there before Fear Factor?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No. I feel like I should remember this, too.
Well, the classic stunt show that was there before was...
It was a Wild West stunt show?
The Wild West stunt show.
I knew it. I remembered cowboys falling from somewhere.
Yeah.
But it could have just been my dreams.
Well, a lot of the facade and stuff, if you go in there for watching Fear Factor, or if you...
Oh, that makes sense now.
Or if you want to go in and watch Bill and Ted's during Halloween, you will still see... it's still very Wild West in there in terms of the look and feel of it. Wild Wild West stunt show.
I thought you were about to break into that Will Smith song real quick there for a second.
Jim West, Desperado, Rough Rider. No, I don't know if that's all the words and stuff. But yeah, the show opened in 1991, so not grand opening. And it actually it wasn't closed until 2003, and then Fear Factor opened up in 2005. So it had a decently long run, and again, plenty of videos out there on that to watch it. You might have heard us complain about stunt shows in the last episode when we were talking about Waterworld being a good stunt show. This is one that I would put in the column of bad stunt shows, that, like, while it was cool that they used the Wild West is the backdrop to it. It was full of like just bad effects and fire and
like theme park gimmicky. It was like a Six Flags thing.
Yeah, definitely a little bit classier than that. But
hey,
very...
I saw a really good Batman Forever stunt show at Six Flags once.
Very much bordering on the bad gimmicky part to it. So. You know, though, it is a part of the history, so there's that going for it. Gone, probably not replaced by anything great. Still upsets me that Fear Factor is being revived. I think it even started airing at this point.
So close to being like, oh, they'll get rid of it soon.
Nope.
Like, they'll put something else over there, even if it's just another show. Well, obviously, they're not going to get rid of that theater. They need it for Bill and Ted, but...
Yeah, but now we have Fear Factor back, so we are all blessed to have that.
Blessings on you, Craig.
Blessings on you.
Blessings on
Blessings on each of us. So quickly running out of there, we already mentioned that Swamp Thing was there before Men in Black. Of course, we have Simpsons Ride.
Mm-hmm.
And what replaced that?
Back to the, not what replaced it. What did it replace?
What did it replace? Why
Back
can't I get this right?
The Future. One of my favorites. And many of favorites.
Exactly.
It's a bummer.
No, it is a bummer. I was thinking more about this, though, when I was thinking about doing this. As much as I want Back to the Future to still have a place at Universal, and I would have loved the Institute to be there and all that, it was very heavily dated in its time.
Well,
and it would not fit into place where it is.
What they've done with Springfield now in the years recent is much better. But when it first was just the building, and it was The Simpsons, I was like, well, this is stupid. And it was years before they built Springfield. So when they finally did Springfield, I was like, okay, now I'm okay.
Yeah,
you know, now I'm like, you know, yeah, I still want Back to the Future somewhere. Because obviously you get a DeLorean, you do this, but I don't know. It's just, you're right. It's one of those things where eventually we've got to move on, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. But Universal writes about it in such loving ways of saying, great Scott, Doc Brown sent you screaming through time and space, Marty, on a 1.21 gigawatt adventure in Sensoround, no less. You'd fly from 2015 Hill Valley through an ice age avalanche into the clutches of a dinosaur and back to the future, all to stop Biff from altering the future. And then, of course, they left us in 2007, so you can still meet Doc Brown around the park all the time.
I just like that you got to fly to the dinosaurs.
I know, and that was like something that I always saw in like promo clips and stuff as I was growing up, but I never understood where it was in the Back to the Future movies, because it wasn't.
No,
but
yeah, I had seen the dinosaur stuff. Confused you? Yeah, it did. Were like, that's not in the movie.
And now I know, because you know, we talked about it when we did our Back to the Future episode back in 2015. We did talk about the entire attraction and went through its entire history and all that. It's a good episode. We'll link to it in the show notes, but we went through the plot, all the loving details about it, but you can still watch the entire ride through as an extra on the Back to the Future DVDs and Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend going out and watching them and take a trip back to the future.
Good one.
That was terrible. It's absolutely terrible, but no, I highly recommend watching it. I just realized we basically, once we talked about Ghostbusters, we completely skipped over Twister.
No, we didn't. We talked about Twister. Yep. I said Bill Pullman by accident.
Yeah, we did, but we didn't talk anything about what happened in the attraction.
Oh, yeah. I guess we kind of just like moved on. Well, because I feel like we did when we did an episode about it, didn't we, when it was going away?
Yeah, we did a Universal Hall of Fame episode on it.
Yeah, but you didn't talk about it went away because, or not, Twister went away. Ghostbusters went away because of the roller coaster, right? No? Or did it just go away?
I believe it just went away because of relevance and the effects and everything driven on that, and the fact that Twister came out and was actually a very popular movie. So we're going to sneak this in now because we're terrible, and I did not follow my notes as I should have. But Twister was basically you stepped in to scenes of the movie. So you start off with the really, really awful pre-show featuring Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt that just made you feel all sorts of uncomfortable because they refused to be on camera together for it, and just explaining tornadoes, the finger of God. We could keep quoting it from here to eternity. Moving on, going through to see what a house looks like when it's completely destroyed before you finally make your way into the real theater, where you see them recreate the drive-in theater scene of the movie with an actual tornado right in front of your eyes and a flying cow and just...
Cow. We got cows.
I gotta go, Julia. We got cows.
We got cows.
you know, Twister... I also miss this. Now that we do have Racer New York starring Jimmy Fallon, I really miss Twister. While it was terrible in every way, shape, and form, it was so much better than Racer New York starring Jimmy Fallon. But nothing we can really say or do about that. It's there. We have to deal with it. Moving right along, let's go into Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone. And I know you love hanging out at A Day in the Park with Barney and Curious George Goes to Town.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your favorite places to just stand and watch around and see what's going on there.
All by myself too, yeah. An adult without a child.
With a mustache and a camera and a bag full of candy.
Don't forget about my trench coat.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I know you like to do that. But what was there before?
I do not know. I remember going on E.T. as a kid. My mom even ruined my shirt. She left a sticker on it and put it in the wash, so I wore that once. But I don't remember anything, like, over there. What was there?
That is where you saw the set for Bates Motel
in the Bates Mansion. Oh, That's cool.
Yeah.
I can understand why they got rid of that, though.
I believe it was used for Psycho 3 or Psycho 4.
Oh, it was used for one of the movies. Okay.
Yeah, it was used for either Psycho 3 or Psycho 4. I want to say Psycho 4.
Now yeah, I think it was the last one.
Yeah, it was. We'll say Psycho 4. So it was used for that. Very cool. But there's not much more to say than that. I understand why it would be removed because it did serve a good purpose. But let's be real. We're about to come into the point where Super Nintendo World's going to be announced officially, like what's going to be happening, where it's going to be. That's going to be in Kids Zone. So pretty soon we can just add a day in the park with Barney and Curious George Goes to Town and Fievel's Playland all in there, because that's all going to be gone anyway. So best not to reflect on that now. We'll reflect on it in the future. That leads us to my final attraction that is gone but not forgotten, and something that is severely missed because all it was replaced with was a crappy gift shop that is heavily featuring a very popular cartoon character.
Olaf Feline.
Yes, and that is, we now have Hello Kitty, but we lost Lucy a Tribute, which, yes, you literally just walked into a room. They were playing clips of I Love Lucy in there. They had a game that never really worked anymore. It used touch screens, and the touch screens it never quite clicked where you wanted it to. But you had amazing props in there. You had the prop that showcased how their whole studio setup was, where they could use a three-camera shoot to film all the different rooms and locations. They had props from the show, stuff personally that Lucille Ball wore. Yes, it was a big air-conditioned room, but if you were a true fan of I Love Lucy and appreciated everything she did, you could spend so much time in there. And instead, we got Hello Kitty.
I know. What a bummer. I was walking by it the other day, and I was just glaring at it.
Yeah.
Because the kitty was outside greeting people.
No, it is sad, but I think that's the whole point of this episode in a broader way, is that it is all very sad that we've lost all these great attractions throughout the years. But at the end of the day, you know, Universal's doing it for their greater purpose. They have an idea with where they want to take the parks, what they want to do with it, and you know, they're when something isn't working for them anymore, I think they have enough insight and knowledge to say it's not working and we're going to change it, fix it, and make it better. And so for any of the things out there that we're getting disappointed about, Jimmy Fallon, Fast and Furious, you know, maybe we won't see that in another 10 years from now. Maybe they'll be added to this list.
One can dream.
Yes, one can dream. But it was very nice going over this whole extinct attractions that we've forgotten about and missed with you. So thank you very much for the conversation, Rhino.
You're welcome. Thank you.
No, and thank you to everyone.
Blessings on this conversation.
Blessings, yes. Thank you to everyone out there who watched and listened to this. We really do appreciate it. So, of course, I am going to put in links to all those videos and stuff I've discussed in our show notes, which you can find at disunplugged.com. That's where you'll find show notes for this show, as well as all the other ones on the Diz Unplugged podcast network. That is also where you can go if you need to find our email, which is uopodcast@disunplugged.com. And that's it. Also, I almost went for the slash, and no slash. That's where you can also find links to our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, you can also find links to just random crap that you might need one day. Who knows? Find a lot of stuff there. So thank you again so much. If you listen to this on iTunes, please make sure you are subscribed if you currently are not, and you are also leaving us reviews. If you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and leave us comments below talking about the attractions that we talked about. Want to hear your thoughts and opinions. If you got to see them, what you thought about them. If you didn't get to see them, tell me why you wish you could have. Really interested to know. I always am. On top of that, too, if you're watching us on YouTube, don't be afraid to share it. Hit that thumbs up button.
Yeah, don't
do
be
something.
Afraid of that button.
Don't be afraid to let people know we exist
don't,
if you enjoy
don't
us.
Don't be suspicious.
Thank you very much. So thank you once again. And all I can say is, as these attractions have gone extinct, now it is our time to go extinct. So that's going to do it for this episode. We will be back with you next week for another episode of the Disney Unplugged Universal Edition. But until then, remember, no resolutions this time.